energy in the arena tonight was unbelievable. It was crazy. And it feels good. You know, we're happy that we're able to do things here in Milwaukee. We're happy that we are going to the third round, and we're happy that, you know, the people are into it. I don't think I've ever seen people in Milwaukee be so excited about basketball.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ike Bucks Podcast. My name is KJ Eichstedt. I'll be your host, and I'm joined by my co-host, Alex. Alex, it's a brand new day. The Bucks have made it a series off the heels of an 86-83 home victory against the Brooklyn Nets. The franchise, Giannis, the big three were completely on the brink, and they delivered when it mattered most. How are you feeling, man?
I'm feeling relieved that the Bucks pulled out that game three, because now it is a series. Now Brooklyn, if they lose game four, it's all square up. You know, what happened game two could be erased if the Bucks continue to play and continue to win in this series. I mean, Tenacious, Giannis, Chris, they had me fired up. Drew, it was exciting and physical basketball, and I'm excited to dive into it. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Bucks fans. We knew we had to jump right on the pod for you guys because, let's just face it, everybody was going crazy after that win. It was a hard-fought win that came down to the buzzer. Drew Holiday making the insanely clutch layup, spin-around layup to the hole. You know, we've seen a lot of blown layups this year, these playoffs, but that was not one of them. And with less than 10 seconds to go, the Milwaukee Bucks max player, part of their big three, delivered in a way that Eric Bledsoe has never done for the Bucks in seasons past. It wouldn't be right if we didn't shout out right away PJ Tucker and Tenacious Antetokounmpo. You know, we're going to get to Giannis, we're going to get to Chris, we're going to get to everybody else, but truly, Tenacious Antetokounmpo, if you look at the box score and you pull it up, there's a lot of box scores that don't even show, like, the seconds, because they, you know, if a guy gets in, it's usually over a minute. I'm looking at a box score right now. He's got a zero in front of the minutes, but guess what? He made a game-altering play. It was just Tenacious D all around the court. Brook Lopez throwing up some blocks. You know, Bucks players flying all over the place. Pat Connaughton diving. I mean, this might have been the pivotal play of the game, and we're going to get to PJ in just a sec. But Pat Connaughton diving, just deflecting the ball, kind of disrupting the rhythm for another couple seconds. And then lastly, frankly, I didn't even know Tenacious was on the court. Tenacious extends full extension and blocks the Nets shooter as the shot clock expires. And then not only that, but proceeds to go crazy, pumping up the crowd in the way that can only remind us of General Maximus in the Gladiator Arena saying, "Are you not entertained?" I mean, it was just one of the most epic plays ever. Real quick, we got to shout out PJ Tucker. The man had 0 points, but his impact was on display.
Oh, yeah.
He went toe-to-toe with KD and just, if anything, kept his composure just enough where it didn't hurt the team. You know, there's a lot of time where guys might, you know, get back to the bench. It's like they overdo it. The refs see they overdo it. And, you know, it ends up hurting the team where you got to take the player out. Well, PJ, he almost ignited the squad. He showed the fight that no one else showed. And really, the Bucks do not win that game without PJ and Tenacious. You could call either one of those two plays a turning point. I might personally lean towards PJ just getting up in Kevin Durant's grill, getting literally a centimeter away from the man's mouth, and just shouting some absurd stuff to his face because it needed to be done. And that's the kind of stuff that, you know, we, in previous podcasts, we said, hey, PJ Tucker, we're not asking him to score 40 points, but if he scored, you know, 4 to 6 to 8 points, this team could win a championship. Well, guess what? He scored 0 points last night, but there's no way the Bucks win that game without him. Al, I'm going to toss it to you, man. Raw thoughts. Get it out there.
Raw thoughts. The Bucks turned up the physicality. Brooklyn's not a physical team. They don't go to the free throw line much. I think they'd only been in the first two games of the series a total of 16 times, and they only went again 8 times last night. They were 7 of 8. So this is like a jump shooting, skill-based basketball team, especially when James Harden's out and not drawing all those fouls. So it is in the Bucks' best interest to play physical. I'm not saying play dirty. I'm saying just play old school, tight, tough defense like we saw from PJ Tucker. Brook Lopez, also, he was huge on defense. 6 blocks, really kind of came alive for the Bucks, which was huge because he wasn't getting it going on the offensive end.
Mm-hmm.
But I think more just like a stat that just completely highlights how the Bucks played defensively is that they won the game despite shooting 19% from three. And typically, if the Bucks shoot 19% from three, you know this, Bucks fans, they get blown out. Yeah, they're taking that L. They get blown out. But this was not the case in game three. The defense looked good. The energy was there. Not the entire game, but the energy was brought by some players at key moments, like you said, KG, like Tenacious. He, 25 seconds. I got the box score up here in this one. He's 25 seconds. He's got all zeros, but he's got one block. And it was game-changing the way he caught the ball and then lit up the crowd. I think everyone was inspired by that in some sort of way, and maybe that was the pivotal moment that then inspired the Bucks to come back and retake the lead that they had given up and win the game. So, I mean, I couldn't be more pleased to see the Bucks seal the deal and get the job done, but that does not take away from the fact that there is still a lot to improve.
Absolutely. And real quick, before we get too deep, I just want to remind our listeners in the United States and around the world that we are giving away a signed Giannis Antetokounmpo Nike Bucks jersey. This thing's valued at $400 and rising. It's an asset. You see all these, you know, basically sports memorabilia pieces going for these crazy amounts. And one day, this jersey is going to be worth a lot more than $400. So we're giving that away. All you have to do is send Ike Bucks a DM, you know, make sure to tell a friend, anyone you know that's a big Bucks fan, tell them, hey, you know, if you don't want to drop the dime, if you don't want to drop the dime on a signed Giannis jersey, you can get one for free right here if you complete the appropriate instructions and just send us a DM. We'll hook you up with all those details. Of course, it comes with a certificate of authenticity. And, you know, it almost reminds me, going back to the Thanasis block real quick, you know, I'm never going to compare that to LeBron's block in game 7 versus the Warriors, but it's almost like that was the biggest block I've seen since then. That's what I'll call it the biggest block I've seen since 2016, game 7 of the NBA Finals, when LeBron does the infamous chase down block literally to save the series. And man, it's like almost like maybe one day we'll have to give away the Nasus jersey, because that was legendary. Like, he cemented his place. He just cemented a lot of respect. You know, like, we've always loved Tenacious because we see, like, the leadership he brings. You know, he's the guy who kind of keeps Giannis level-headed, you know, keeps him when he's having a down day. He's like, hey, man, don't worry, I got you. Like, older brother type stuff. And we can relate to that a lot over here, as I'm sure a lot of you listeners can also relate to. But really, just, you can't quantify that type of impact that him and PJ Tucker brought last night. And guess what? If they put up 4 to 6 to 8 points, man, this game is even won, you know, in an even better fashion. So,
I got one more point on Tenacious here.
Yeah, go for it.
You see it around the league. No one gives this man any respect because he's Giannis's brother. They think they're like, oh, you know, we know why Tenacious is in the league, because he's Giannis's brother. He doesn't deserve to be in the league.
That's bullshit.
You know, Tenacious proves that time and time again through leadership, through defense. I mean, the guy has gone off multiple games when he was asked to score a lot of points during the regular season, or asked to play a lot of minutes during the regular season. And there he was, again, making an impact play in the playoffs. When's the last time, Bucks role players
have truly altered the game like that?
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of one.
I can't even remember.
In an important series.
Yeah.
Maybe Ersan. Ersan had some moments against the Raptors. But, like, nothing like this, you know? Like,
yeah.
And, but that's kind of the impact, you know? Like, you know how Ersan used to just
Take a key charge and kind of save a possession.
That's what Tenacious did. He kind of just ensured that play was not going to end up in points, and that was huge. So that was my final thing, is he earned his respect, and I think everyone was happy to see him do that.
Oh, man, the crowd was going wild. And you know when else the crowd was going wild? When Giannis hit his only three of the night. You know, multiple people hit me up with a text. They're saying, man, I jumped out of my seat when Giannis hit that three in the Pfizer, at home on the couch. You know, he was 1 for 8, and a lot of Bucks fans would be like, man, Giannis, please don't shoot those threes, especially early in the shot clock. You know, I just want to say, maybe if you have to, you have to, and it's good that he can make one. But really, there's kind of this dichotomy here where he's shooting these threes, these ill-advised threes, because he doesn't want to get to the free throw line. I will give Giannis a little bit of credit for making those two clutch free throws at the end of the game. He ended up 4 for 9 from the stripe. That's 44%. That's unacceptable, frankly. But really, you know, Giannis didn't necessarily – like, he may not have been the guy in the final moments, shout to Chris, but really – Giannis showed up last night, you know, 33 points, 14 rebounds, and he could have played a hell of a lot better. And I just want to give a shout out to the minutes on the big three. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 43 minutes. Chris Middleton, 44 minutes. Drew Holiday, 46 minutes. More of that. We absolutely have to do that. And guess what the Bucks did? They won. You know, I don't give a you-know-what how rested these guys are. I want them playing that and more in Game 4 because, you know, the Nets are going to come out with everything they have. Giannis, you know, to kind of go back to his game a little bit, I think he had like 19 points in the first quarter and he had 14 points the rest of the way. You know, that's not necessarily going to get it done. The Bucks kind of, they jumped out of this big lead, 30-11 after the first.
Chris and Giannis had 15.7 rebounds each at that point. Continue.
Okay, my bad. I thought he had 19. But yeah, you know, the Nets slowly clawed and scrapped their way back into the game. And you look at the quarter breakdowns, the Bucks won the first, the Nets won the second, the Nets won the third quarter by 1 point, 23-22, and the Bucks won the fourth quarter by 1 point, 19-18. You know what another key takeaway is? Defense wins championships. I mean, 86-83 Milwaukee Bucks and Brooklyn Nets. I'd have to go double check, but I'm pretty sure those were the top two offensive teams in the NBA this year. And you know Brooklyn lights it up every single game. We saw that the hard way in game two. But the Bucks proved they can do it. And just more of that. You know, I think guys like Pat Connaughton, shout to him, impacting the game. Like, he didn't play a ton of minutes. He played 13 minutes. Guys like Bobby Portis, impacting the game, 4.6 boards. He could even play better. He had a steal in there, you know, a couple big time offensive rebounds. You know, he only played 12 minutes.
He did his job.
Bryn Forbes, I mean, hopefully he gets it going. Brook Lopez, 3 points. Hopefully he gets it going. Shout out to Lopez for the blocks. But really, the star of the night was Chris Middleton.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a point when I was on 8 Bucks and I was just, I mean, Bucks fans, you know how we were feeling last night. We were just worried sick. You know, like, any Bucks fan is like, the season is on the brink here. The franchise is close to detonation.
Cannot go down 3-0.
Cannot go down 3-0. That's like deflating. It's like, I don't even know if I'd want to tweet Ike Bucks after 3-0. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now there's hope. But of course we would. Obviously, we'd never abandon you guys. You know, we're with you guys till the end. But really, there was a time when the game was winding down and I said, enough. Give Chris Middleton the ball. He is the only man in this team who can get a bucket from anywhere on the floor. And guess what Chris did? He got back-to-back buckets, and it was just so huge. You know, Giannis has got a slash at the end of the game. He's not the guy at the end of the game. And the Bucks, it's super important for them to clarify these roles because this isn't the last ultra-close game they're going to play this playoffs. I mean, I certainly hope
series.
Exactly. And it's like they have to have defined roles. Drew Holiday's got to be the point guard. Drew Holiday's been in a funk. You know, he wasn't playing his best last night. He hasn't been playing his best this entire series. He could be playing a lot better. But really, you know, the reason for that is because Giannis is kind of acting as the point guard when he shouldn't be. You know, Giannis has got to be in the corner, underneath, you know, kind of in the lane. Just kind
of doing
like
screens last night, you know, like pick and rolls.
Yeah, you got to have, like, two guys keeping an eye on him and distracting the rest of the defense, you know, in terms of, like, opening up shots for Chris, opening up shots for Bryn Forbes. You know, hopefully he can start hitting them. Opening up shots for PJ. PJ was fearless out there. You know, there was a couple times he was wide open in three, and he threw it up no hesitation, just like you have to do. Obviously, it didn't go in. The man didn't score a point, and we'd love to see him put up 4-6. But it's like he was fearless, and the whole rest of the team needs to exemplify that. Like, you can't have this wishy-washy roles in a series like this, when you're facing, you're back against the wall, Drew has to be the go-to point guard every single play. Chris Middleton has to take the absolute most shots in the game. He took 25 shots. Giannis took 31. I'd like to see that reverse. I'd like to see Chris take 31 and Giannis take 25, because Giannis impacts the game so much more. You know, Giannis is an MVP. He's a defensive player of the year. But when it comes to the, you know, getting buckets at will, that's Middleton. That's 100% cash money. Yeah. Middleton. And he did his job last night. He's our guy in the clutch. So that's kind of how I see the role shaken out. Al, do you have any thoughts just to add on top of that?
Yeah, I think Chris and Giannis, let's just call it what it is. I mean, they scored 68 of the Bucks' 86 points. The rest of the team scored 18 points. And so that's unacceptable.
Real quick, that's 68 out of 86 points. That's 79% of the team's total points. That's the highest percentage in NBA playoff history. Just a little fun fact for you. Al, go ahead.
Yeah, and here's like, you know, I'm happy to celebrate the win. I'm ecstatic the Bucks won. But at the same time, I can't just ignore that the offensive system, which is broken under Coach Bud. And here's another sign. The Bucks had fewer assists in game three. They only had 12 assists last night than they had in game two. And the ball is not moving. There's a lot of ISO. There's a lot of bad possessions. Early threes from Brook Lopez. Early threes from Giannis.
It's just garbage offense.
There's no discipline out there. It's garbage offense. There's no one willing to work the ball around. Like, one thing that's so successful for, like, you know, maybe you the best college teams or the best pro teams is that they're disciplined in offense to actually work for the best shot. Like, no matter what anyone convinces me, Brook Lopez 3 or Giannis 3 without 5 seconds or less in the shot clock or being wide open is not a good shot. It's just not, especially not when you have Chris or Drew out there. And so I think I still need to see more out of the offense in just any type of scheme. Coach Bud in the huddle. Maybe you saw this, Bucks
fans.
Oh,
my God.
I mean, so there was this moment, and you know how it is when you're watching a broadcast when they show inside the huddle. So first they flash to Steve Nash, and Steve Nash is saying, Giannis is hell bent on getting to the rim, so we have to meet him further up the court. We got to brace him, make that first contact higher up near the free throw line rather than lower in the paint. You know, pure strategy. Tangible knowledge that his guys can go and play the next play.
An adjustment, so to speak.
Yeah. They then show Coach Bud, who is literally saying random basketball words. He's going, cut, pass, steal,
fight,
commit.
play for each other. Keep going.
Keep going. And we saw this and
we're
like,
beside ourselves.
Did anyone just notice that? And a lot of Bucks fans, a lot of you guys did notice that. So shout to you for paying attention and not letting any of that slide. But it just kind of shows that there is no strategy. To double down on my point, there was a point in the game where the crew had talked to Coach Bud and they asked, what can they do better on offense? And Coach Bud's response was that the Bucks need to be, quote, more random.
Oh. What is that? Like, we understand
talk about
what that
the
means.
Opposite like, of what they need to do.
Yeah, like we understand what he was going for there, but because you have to be, I would say, maybe unpredictable. But it's like, in terms of translating that to an NBA player's mind, when these guys are running up and down the court and they can't process.
More random. Okay.
And they can't process information at the same level as maybe someone sitting on the couch. You know, if you're just sitting there, you can be like, more random. Okay, maybe unpredictable. Yeah, maybe we'll take a different. But when you're in the game and there's players flying around, like Giannis, get to the elbow, you know, like do like take advantage of this mismatch or something like that. You know, Chris, hey, I want you to run some screen action with Bobby Portis, and that's going to get you some open looks, get to your spot. It's like, where the hell was that? You know, these guys, it's just so obvious the Bucks need a new coach, and like we're gonna hope that they pull out Game Four, but like it's just so obvious these guys just need someone to help them, like push them over the top because Coach Bud is feeble,
He's feeble. It's like okay. you always see this. It's like at the end of the day, the players, when they're told, you know, play more random, or they're not told to run sets, you know what they resort to? ISO ball. They don't know what to do, and that's just sports in general. Like, you have to have strategy. This isn't chess against the computer where you have to do random things because it's your only resort to beat the computer. No, this is, you have to have strategy because your random offense, bud,
it ain't working.
It ain't working. It was 14 assists in game two. It's 12 assists in game three. There's no ball movement. A lot of shot selection is extremely poor, which is evident by the 37% field goal percentage and 19% percentage from three. And to top it off, I mean, this guy still hasn't told Giannis to change his free throw routine.
Oh, my God. I mean, let's just take a moment. Giannis, like the NBA announcers brutal. And broadcasts, they actually gave him some mercy by calling it at 13 seconds. It's like they're like, look, man, we'll give you 11. We'll give you 12, but we ain't giving you 13. And rightly so. You know, someone's – you know, I mean, I think it was Satiris.
He's messing around up there.
Satiris actually tweeted at us. He's like, we tweeted out that Giannis just got called for the 10-second violation because we were just, you know, how else do you say it besides just, like, throw it out there, right? Satiris is like, good. And I think that's where all of us are at because, like, if Giannis hasn't learned by now that he's got to change his free throw, maybe penalizing his own team on his own doing and still shooting 44% from the line.
Airballing a free throw when he does take 10 seconds of preparation. I mean, it's just garbage. It's just like, dude, where is the coach to tell him to change this? You know, speed this up. We're in agony.
Where is Sean Sweeney? Never mind. I was just making a joke, you know. But it's like someone's got to get through to the guy. Like, maybe at this point you throw Thanasis 50 grand under the table. You say, Thanasis, man, sit him down and just tell him. Tell him, hey, man. Two or three dribbles, shoot it up. You know, get that, find that rhythm, shoot it up.
Don't think so hard. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's really something. You know, Jrue Holiday, I just want to spend a little more time on him. He's got to play better. You know, he's got to play better. I think he made the game-winning basket, but if he didn't, he was in line to get destroyed because guess what? We threw the man a cool $160 million. You know, $160 million, you got to at least score in double digits. You got to at least score in double digits. And so, you know, I think if Jrue Holiday plays better, the good news is, Bucks fans, is there is upside with this team. Like, there's faith that they can get it going. And eventually, hopefully, the shots are going to fall. You know, Bryn Forbes has got to get the lid off. I hope he was shooting in the gym till like midnight last night, just like Kobe was. You know, I mean, Bobby Portis, this guy was like unbelievable from three during the entire year, and he took zero threes. You know, it's like where is the doing what you do well, you know, playing to your strengths and avoiding your weaknesses? There really is no coaching out there. There's no coaching. But here's something, you know, that's probably not going to change. I was actually thinking about tweeting that out during as the Bucks were slipping away the lead. I was like, should the Bucks honestly replace Bud with Darvin Ham at halftime? But I was like, I held it back just because we didn't want to seem too dramatic, and that's not what our goal is. Our goal is to always keep it a level of practical, you know, like what's actually possible. And we as we discussed in our last podcast, the Bucks are not going to probably make a coaching change mid-series. I mean, that would be epic if they did because it's so obvious they need a new coach.
The time has passed at this point. That was after game two, like immediately if it was going to happen.
Yeah, he should have. Yeah, but anyways, so here's some practical stuff as well. Just like how can we improve on for game three? There's a 24-second shot clock, and listeners out there in America and all across the world, you guys could probably attest to this, that humans in general, like humans across the globe, due to technology, our attention spans are getting shorter and shorter. That's why the NBA is instituting these rules to increase scoring. That's why they did that rule where they, you know, like you get the ball out of bounds or whatever and the shot clock goes to 14 seconds instead of 24. That's why across other sports you see the MLB doing all these things to try and shorten
college
the game.
College basketball.
But really, you know, the attention spans of the players, just like you and I, are getting shorter. And here's the strategy behind that. If you work the ball around, like Alex was saying, for a good shot for 20 seconds, for even 15 seconds. Like, you know, think about like these platforms like TikTok, right? Or an Instagram story or something like that. They cap these at 15 seconds for a reason. And truth is, half the people don't even spend the entire 10, 15 seconds watching them. So let's just apply that to the basketball court. If you go down and jack up a shot, like these guys on the Brooklyn Nets and across the league, they play defense in bursts. You know, defense is effort. So it's like these guys might play super hard D for a 3-second burst. They might play super hard D for a 5-second burst. Hell, they might even play super hard D for a 10-second burst. But if you work the ball across the court, side to side, run some screen action,
consistently,
and make them play defense for 20 seconds, 15 to 20 seconds, there will be breakdowns. And that's where if you actually have defined roles and have Giannis slash, that's an easy bucket. You know, that's an easy slam dunk. So that's kind of the strategy is like you've got to institute an offense and you've got to be a little patient. You can't jack up shots with 2 seconds in the shot clock. That's playing, you know, 2 seconds elapsed. So like, obviously, that would mean there's like 21, 22 seconds left in the shot clock. But that's the whole playing right into the Nets' hands. And it's not going to get it done. You know, our offense was 86 points. I guarantee it. If the Bucks take a little time, Kyrie ain't out there to play D for more than 2 or 3 seconds. You know, KD ain't out there to play D for more than 5 seconds. Maybe Blake Griffin will give you 10 seconds of defense, but those guys in general aren't going to give you 15 to 20 seconds of defense, and that's a weakness you can exploit and use to your advantage. Alex, thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, talk about something that was exploited last night. Brook Lopez could not stop Bruce Brown. It was like consistent screen and roll action from Brooklyn, and the Bucks had no answer. It was like someone said it was like almost 6 straight possessions that they were scoring on that, and that should just never happen. The same way there was once a day in the NBA, everyone remembers this, where if the center was wide open at the three-point line, he didn't shoot the ball because he didn't shoot it at a high enough percentage. And nowadays, no, it's you jack it up. And it's kind of evident in these shooting numbers. I mean, Giannis 1-for-8 from 3. Yeah, he hit a big one, but at the end of the day, they're leaving him open for a reason. Brook Lopez 1-for-5. Even Bryn 0-for-4, PJ 0-for-3, and you want these guys to keep shooting, but it's not going to, you live by the 3, you die by it, just like Shaquille O'Neal says. And there's nothing more brutal than watching 7-footers chuck up hopeless threes. Hopeless threes.
And it's so bad you have to laugh at it, honestly.
And I do think the attention span's a great thing because it's like that's something I never thought about in terms of why you're seeing these rapid offenses, why people are pulling up for threes on fast breaks. I think a bit of it is kind of the crowd aspect and kind of the media presence where, you know, it's cooler to pull up for 3 on the fast break rather than take the high percentage layup and or something like that.
I mean, a slam dunk never gets old. You know, I mean, let's just call a spade a spade.
Yeah, a slam dunk is always king. But I'm just saying, like, there is this tendency to be impatient. There's a lot of impatience out there. You see it with a lot of Bucks. And
you see it with people across the world, man. This is deeper than basketball. Like, people's attention spans are shrinking, so let's actually do some high-level analysis and translate this to strategy applicable to the game and helping the Bucks win. That's
and you have to force them. You have to force them to work the ball around because, like you said, KJ, Brooklyn, one, they're not a physical team defensively. Two, they're not even a good defensive team like on the stats. And three, you don't want to make it easier for them by taking bad shots or low percentage shots. So that's a tangible way the Bucks can actually improve their offense because 86 points, yeah, it may have snuck a win out in game 3, but if the Bucks turn off another offensive performance like that, I got news for you. Joe Harris isn't going 1-for-11. KD, Kyrie, they're not going to shoot 40% or worse. They're just not. And the Bucks lose game 4 too. if they don't change the offense.
I got some good news. Bruce Brown, he ain't throwing up 16 again. I mean, hopefully not. But, you know, there's good news on both sides. Like, the Bucks cannot play much worse on offense. And when the going gets tough, I just want to reiterate this, just beat it into the Bucks nation out there. We got to give the ball to Chris. He is the number one offensive game on our team. And no, he's not perfect. Yes, he may have some really bad turnovers at times. I'm not denying that. But when the going gets tough, he's our guy. And I think he demonstrated that last night. Thank God at least the Bucks team knows that on the court. So, Al, I think now's a good time to do some good Bucks, bad Bucks, man. Let's start with the good Bucks. Go, give us some good Bucks.
The good Bucks is that this is what I'm going to say. P.J. Tucker did not back down. Like, he was like, I'm tougher than you, Kevin Durant. He went right up into his face. I mean, we talked about this moment for a little bit, but think about that's putting your credibility on the line if you're P.J. Tucker.
Oh,
you have to ball now on defense. You know, that turns up the competition a notch. There was one time when KG and I were playing soccer in this soccer league where a guy did a nasty tackle on me from behind. And it's out of my character to do this. And I just went up in his face and just started screaming at him. And what did it do? It forced me to play at a higher level. And the whole team elevated. And we ended up winning the game because of it. And I think PJ Tucker kind of set the tone. He didn't back down. He rose.
He needed to do it.
Yeah. And it was probably that tone will transition throughout the rest of the series. So I just think that was like a good Bucks moment of passion. Like, that's the passion you want to see. So how about you, Cage? What's your good Bucks?
Well, just to reiterate that, man, leadership. You know, it kind of like, I don't want to just harp on this. It's slightly some bad Bucks here. But, like, it almost confirmed that Giannis is not a leader. You know, like, Giannis came out in the beginning of the game. My good Bucks is at least the Bucks came out not flat. That's my good Bucks. You know, we came out with energy. But really, Giannis put up the most points when it was the first quarter and then kind of fizzled away the rest of the game. I mean, Giannis, man, ignite the dog in you. Like, don't just mean mug for the cameras. Mean mug for yourself. Mean mug for your teammates, man. You know, like, don't make P.J. Tucker mean mug for you.
48 minutes.
Don't make P.J. Tucker mean mug for you. This is me, maybe. I don't want to call him out, but you know, maybe I am calling him out. You know, it's like, man, you gotta be that leader. And like, he's just got to be that leader because thank God P.J. Tucker did that. But yeah, my good Bucks is the Bucks came out with energy. They did what they needed to do to save the season, to fight another day. And this is going to be a five-game series at the minimum now because the Bucks did that. You know, the in terms of we had to get a win, yes, but you break that down into micro goals. It's like, how do you get that win? Well, you got to come out strong. And that's what the Bucks did. So Al, let's flip it to the other side. Bad Bucks, throw some out there. There's plenty to choose from.
I mean, for me, it's just the lack of offense outside of Chris and Giannis. That's concerning because, yes, the Bucks broke the record for highest contribution from two players, and they won the game. But face it, Drew Holiday put up Eric Bledsoe stats. He had 9 points, 5 assists, and 4 rebounds. He hit a clutch layup. He made a great play in the clutch, which Bledsoe struggled to do. But at the end of the day, he did not have a good game. Same with Brook Lopez. You know, he made some clutch blocks. He got some rebounds. But Lopez was consistently getting burned by Bruce Brown when he had no business burning Brook Lopez on the pick and roll. And he also shot 1 for 7. And it's kind of like just this trend of, yeah, maybe they made an impact play, which I'm very happy to see, but they have to perform at a higher level if the Bucks are going to come back and win this series. It can't just be one play a game. It has to be consistent, you know, hitting your shots when you're open and contributing. You know, like Bryn Forbes, he had put up a zero spot, 15 minutes. That's
my
unacceptable.
Bad Bucks. I mean, shout to Bryn Forbes for at least showing effort on defense. But, man, you're my bad Bucks this week, Bryn Forbes. Like, who are you and what did you do with the other Bryn Forbes in the Miami series? Like, that's what I want to know. Where did this guy go? Is he stuffed in a closet? Is he stuffed in a trunk somewhere? Because we got to go find him. We're going to need
South
Bryn
Beach?
Forbes. I hope not. I hope not. But, yeah, Bryn Forbes, long story short, you can't throw up zero spots. You're in there for one reason and one reason only, to make your freaking threes. So please start doing that. I just want to give a quick shout-out to Big Za'Darius Smith, Big Z, and Aaron Jones, Showtime. Both of these guys are, you know, putting in work in Packers minicamp, mandatory camp, and they're also driving down to support their guys. You know, Aaron Jones had a sick – this thing was awesome – custom Aaron Jones 33 Bucks jersey.
Big Z had a custom too.
Did he have a custom? Okay.
Yeah, then, yeah.
I mean, not only that, but these guys were you know, chilling with the fans afterwards. Like, just
they
great
were
to see. They were great. It was great for morale, and I think it also gave a little added bonus to the team. Like, man, we got some Packers in here. You know,
can't suck.
No, we can't suck. Those guys, like, they may not have gotten the job done when it mattered most, but they did get to the NFC Championship game, so we got to, at the very least, get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Truth is, Bucks fans, you know our standard's higher than that. We have a championship standard, championship mindset. The Bucks got to get to the finals, and then from there, anything can happen. But in order to do that, they got to win Game 4. So real quick, Alex, predictions for Game 4, Sunday afternoon, 2 p.m. Milwaukee time. What do you got?
I got Bucks 110, Brooklyn 98, and here's why. I think the Bucks will get their bench contribution in Game 4. It just hasn't shown up yet this series. Like, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. But Chris and Giannis, it's kind of been shown that they're going to get their points. They're going to get their buckets, and they're going to be the focal point of the offense. But what are the other guys doing, right?
Nothing.
So, exactly. I mean, Chris and Giannis were combined 26 for 56. 26 for 56, which means the rest of the Bucks were a combined 8 for 34. And if you just think about the law of numbers, that it's not going to be that bad in Game 4. So I do see the Bucks getting a boost from their supporting cast, including Jrue Holiday. And so that's why I'm going with the Bucks coming out big four with a big Game 4 win. What about you, KJ?
Yeah, I'm going to go Bucks 120, and I'm going to go Nets, you know, 111. I think if the Bucks big three can put up 90, then you ask the supporting cast to put up 30, and then collectively you hold the Nets to less than 120. I think those are all very achievable goals. So my prediction is I do think the Bucks, maybe I'm being naive, but I do think they're going to get Game 4. From there, it's a brand new series. It's a best of three series, and one could argue that the Bucks have all the momentum. You know, we're the hotter team at that point. Going back to Brooklyn, now their back's against the wall. Does doubts begin to creep into their mind? You know, does doubt begin to creep into? I mean, you know, it's probably not going to affect guys like KD and Kyrie. They're like, give me the ball, I'll shoot it up, and I'll make it every single play. But you think about guys and their supporting cast, like, you know, Landry Shamet. Is he going to,
Mike
for lack
James.
Of a better term, Mike James? Exactly. Even Joe Harris, he's like, he's never been here before. You know, he's never been this far before. I mean, Blake Griffin, he's used to choking in the playoffs. Honestly, Clippers, that was what he did best. Pistons, he kind of was exposed. But Blake Griffin's been a baller this series. I'm not going to deny that. But it's like, you know, maybe the doubt begins to creep into their mind. And you know what they say? They say fear is the mind killer. So that's what you need to do. You need to put the fear into the Brooklyn Nets. Take care of what you have to take care of. Please, Coach Bud, don't just yell out random freaking words.
I just
Please
can't
just
believe
coach
that.
These guys. Just coach these guys and do what you need to do to give your team a competitive advantage in terms of strategy and practical shit they can do in Game 4 just to get the win. You know, we know the Pfizer is going to be rocking. We know the Deer District is going to be lit up like some fireworks.
Oh, yeah. Sunday.
All eyes
Sunday
on Sunday.
Sunday.
Sunday fun day. I just want to give a quick shout out to Somalia in Italy. We've had our first listeners from Somalia and Italy. Thank you so much for tuning in. Also want to shout out Indonesia, Kingdom of Jordan, Japan, Uganda, Turkey, Hong Kong, Chile, Thailand, Bulgaria, Gambia, Hungary, South Africa, India, Kenya, South Korea, Morocco, Portugal, Cyprus, Finland, New Zealand, France, Denmark, Ghana, Israel, the Netherlands, Argentina, Serbia, Saudi Arabia, Taiwan, Switzerland, Brazil, España, Spain, Nigeria, Germany, Ireland, Greece, Philippines, Sweden, St. Lucia, Norway, Canada, Australia, Mexico, the United Kingdom, and of course the United States, where fans are tuning in coast to coast, and especially in Wisconsin. We could never do this without you guys. You know, every week we have more people tuning in, and it's a journey, and it's a journey that we've enjoyed sharing with you guys, and it's got a long way to go. You know, the best is yet to come. I truly believe that. And I just want to let everyone know that the Giannis signed jersey giveaway is available to everyone across the world. You know, like, yes,
we've
it's in more... It's more expensive if we have to ship it internationally. But look, we're not cheap. You know, we're giving away a $400+ signed Giannis.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if I got to spend maybe an extra $20-$30 on shipping because the winner happened to be from a different country, we're able to do that too. You know, so I want to encourage everyone to participate. Tell another Bucks fan. Tell another Giannis fan. You know, there's this really hot piece of Bucks gear available. It's signed by Giannis. It's an appreciating asset. And, of course, we have the certificates of authenticity because without those, you know, they're not as cool. Obviously, you have to have the certificate of authenticity to prove that the item's authentic, and you best believe that we have that. Al, any final thoughts?
Final thoughts are make sure to enter that Giannis signed jersey giveaway. This is actually the third signed Giannis jersey we've given away, so you're going to get it. It's going to be certified, and it's going to be awesome. So make sure to enter. It's a Nike jersey. Super cool. Final thoughts for me also. KG and I, Bucks fans, we got some intel on Chris Middleton, and he is, from someone who's close to him, apparently he is as cool and as nice as a guy and as low-key as he portrays on the court. So just really reassuring to hear that, and really, really nice. Apparently he's really down-to-earth, loves going back to work with his high school in Charleston. So just wanted to share that with you guys, and I am pumped for Game 4, so go Bucks, fear the deer.
Go Bucks, fear the deer. We'll be with you every step of the way, Bucks fans. Make sure to check out Ike Bucks on Twitter. Make sure to send us that DM for the details on the Giannis jersey. And we're looking forward to Game 4 with you guys. So until next time, Bucks fans, we out.
Take care.
You're now listening to Ike Music.